Welcome to Falcons Drip, your go-to source for Falcons news and draft coverage. I'm Thon Ray, founder and voice of Falcons Drip.
Welcome back to Falcons Drip, everybody. I'm joined by my co-host Kyle, and we're going to briefly touch on the Pittsburgh game, which we don't have to go into too much, and then dive into the moves. I mean, we had to cut it down to the 53-man roster and the 16-man practice squad, and so here we are.
Yeah, it was a really interesting past week for the Falcons and really busy for us on both of our pages, me on Georgia Sports Content and you on the Falcons Drip page. So we were both busy tracking this roster, whether it be them cutting it down to 53 and the practice squad. So far, the roster is at 53 players. The practice squad is at 14 players. Mm-hmm. So before we get into that, though, let's just talk briefly. Falcons lost 24-0 versus the Pittsburgh Steelers in their last preseason game. They were playing against mostly Steelers starters who played maybe a quarter and a half.
I wouldn't even look too – I really honestly, though, like even with that game, like I wouldn't look that much into it. Like you said, it was the Pittsburgh starters, and the starting cornerbacks were someone who's on our practice squad and another guy who didn't make the practice squad. So, I would have been more concerned if I was a Steelers fan and they didn't score.
100%. For Steelers, it was just like, okay, they're doing what they're supposed to versus backups of another team. Mm-hmm. And it shows how big of a gap it is from first strings to second strings to third strings. So it really just showed that these guys aren't starting caliber guys, which isn't something we knew. Obviously, some guys held up better than others. I will mention Trey Flowers didn't hold up well. He had a 43 PFF grade. And we also learned yesterday, we're recording this on Wednesday, probably going to put it out Thursday. We learned that Falcons are working out former all pro bowler Malcolm Butler. He's currently 33. He's taken like three seasons off from the NFL after announcing retirement around 30. He also had a game-clinching Super Bowl pick with the Patriots. He overall, in his tenure in the NFL, which has been seven seasons so far, he's recorded 17 picks. So overall, a solid outside corner. He's 5'11", 190, so not one of those super small corners. And for me, if he works out well enough, this just points to it being a sign that Trey Flowers could be on his way out.
And also, too, the fact that Mike Hughes and Jeff Okuda aren't practicing, right? So with, you know, you take a look at it, maybe we bring Natrone Brooks, who we re-signed to the practice squad. We'll get into all that stuff afterwards. But up for a game or two until Mike Hughes or Jeff Okuda is ready. But right now, looking at this roster, we have four cornerbacks, that being A.J. Mm-hmm. Terrell, Clark Phillips, Trey Flowers, and D. Alford. And if, you know, Trey Flowers is scoring a 44 PFF grade, then, you know, we could be in some trouble. That being said, you know, corners are going to have up and down games. And I don't think Malcolm Butler will be the guy that kind of comes to our rescue, right? 33 years old. He hasn't played since 2020. I have a hard time thinking he's going to be the guy that's going to come in and play significant minutes for us. Maybe if anything else, a locker room type guy, but that's kind of how I see it.
Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily say he's going to be a starter, but for me, if he works out well enough and the Falcons deem him to be NFL ready, I think he could make a quality backup. I don't think he's a starter level corner. Still, obviously, he's not as good as he once was. He's past his prime, but I think he could be a quality corner still in this league. He's got all the pedigree. He knows what he's doing. He's a veteran leader. And for the Falcons, this DB room is really young. A.J. Terrell's in his fourth year, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. What's his name? Okuda's also in his fourth year.
Yep.
You got D. Alford, maybe two or three years.
This is the second year, yeah.
Second year, okay. Then Clark Phillips, first year. So you got some young guys in this room. Mike Hughes has a little bit of experience, but yeah, Mike Hughes overall hasn't been as solid coming out of as a first rounder out of UCF.
Yeah, he's been him and Trey Flowers both been around for 6 years, so it could be some added veteran leadership in the back half. And like you said, if they sign Malcolm Butler, I'm not going to be upset. I wouldn't expect them to come in and make a yeah make it hit. I wouldn't expect him to come in and be all of a sudden a splash player.
Yeah, for sure. And I will mention we got past waiver claims and Falcons didn't claim anyone, which was surprising, especially considering they had the eighth spot in waiver claims. Mm-hmm. So they had a high enough choice to where they had a chance to claim some good players. And so far after the initial 53-man roster, only one player has changed out. And that's going from Josh Miles as your swing tackle to Isaiah Prince, who Isaiah Prince is athletic outside lineman. So it's not surprising for them to add another guy at outside lineman because of how bad these guys played. Mayfield played terrible, recording a bunch of horrible PFF grades, 33 in his last game, PFF grade. And then you had Miles didn't play great, but he didn't play as bad as Mayfield. And he barely made that roster. Then Falcons said, hey, this guy got cut and we think he's better than Miles. So they said, we're going to use him as our ninth lineman, which I love. Neusel obviously made the roster. He's been great as a backup center and swing guard, but he was expected to be our third center before Hennessy went down, which is crazy to think how good this interior is coming into the preseason.
And I would say too, I would not be shocked to see Miles end up on the practice squad because we do have two more spots to fill. Isaiah Prince, he was the starting tackle for the Bengals on their Super Bowl run. So I think like just have that experience and people might say, oh, like look at the Bengals offensive line. But at the end of the day, he's a starting tackle, and he was a starting tackle for a Super Bowl team. He's got that kind of experience and that kind of talent. So whether you didn't think he was an appropriate starter or not, for him to be the swing tackle is an awesome pickup for us.
Yeah, and I love it. It's one of the things I was saying before this podcast. I was saying it earlier today in some chats with some people who follow us. I was saying Falcons today expect maybe 2 to 3 pickups out of, I was thinking like waiver claim, maybe a Malcolm Butler. Mm-hmm. So maybe waiver claim / signings. Mm-hmm. But we only have had one so far. So we'll see if we get another one. I was thinking we'd either have a corner and a wide receiver and a swing tackle, some combination of that. Cause they are reportedly monitoring the wide receiver market, so it'll be interesting to see if they grab a guy. It's also interesting to see if they decide to add a corner with the two injuries you mentioned and Hughes and Okuda banged up right now.
And so that report was from Cam Marino, who's 50-50, but I would say that Terry Fontenot is literally looking at every market all the time, it feels like you have he definitely is looking at the receiver market, because I think he's looking at the fullback market and the tight end market and definitely the tight end market and the quarterback market, right? Like I think he's always looking. But I agree, like, because wide receiver is probably one of our weaker positions, that would be somewhere where we would probably make a move. Just looking at this, the list of the guys that have kind of been coming and going, what was your biggest disappointment now that we have the practice squad and the roster?
I will say I wasn't very disappointed with how this roster turned out. It is disappointing to see some of these safeties have to go. But we did get a Micah Abernathy back on the practice squad, so that was nice to see. But I got to say the biggest disappointments right now are probably Timmy Horn being left off the roster and Parker Hesse. I know a bunch of people were mad about Hesse, But I think there was just too much depth there. So I'm not really mad about anything.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of surprised that guys who have played big time minutes for big time snaps for the Falcons were left off the roster, which shows how much this team has improved.
And the nice thing too is we brought them back onto the practice squad. And besides those two guys, two of the guys that I really wanted to see back on the practice squad was Natrone Brooks and Zay Malone. So to see both of them on the practice squad was a sigh of relief for me. The one person I would say, you know, there's a couple other guys that I was glad to see, you know, Tucker Fisk, Kimo Koturi, just like some of those guys, Justin Schaefer, you know, you always like to have your picks back. But for me, the one guy who we haven't re-signed that I would like to see end up back on our practice squad was Clint Radkovich, the backup fullback. You know, he was our highest scoring offensive player in the preseason, and as far as PFF grades go, and he's the highest scoring PFF fullback. I think
he averaged like an 83 this preseason. You'd look down every game and you'd see 83 or 91, something like that. So he was always good this preseason. So it's so fun to watch.
Yeah. And I would like to, I mean, we got two spots left. I would like for us to bring him back because, you know, it was always known. It felt like, you know, we just signed Keith Smith, who's been a very notorious, one of the better fullbacks in the league, great special teams player. So we knew we were keeping Keith Smith. Didn't really feel like a question, but I would have liked to see us keep Clint as well, at least on the practice squad. So hopefully we kind of pick him back up. And we've talked about him before, you know, coming out of college, he was one of the best fullbacks in that class. And then he tore his knee up, recovered. He's back. He's playing well for the Falcons. Unfortunately for him, he's just in the same fullback room with Keith Smith. So if we can find a way to keep him on tap, that would be awesome.
It's so awesome to see. And I kind of want to look at this practice squad. Let's just go over it.
Yeah.
So I'll just go down the list. This is reported by Kevin Knight and all the other writers.
It's on the Falcons website.
Yeah, but they're the same either way. So I just got it pulled up on Twitter. Micah Abernathy, one of my favorite practice squad signings. A guy who you could have made a case he should be that fourth corner. But with how well DeMarco Helms played, you could not keep Helms off the roster.
Yeah, and you said corner, but you meant safety.
I meant safety, yep. I always make a mistake some point where I say the wrong thing.
You get so excited.
It has to happen at some point. And then we have cornerback Natrone Brooks, one of our favorite guys throughout the preseason. He was a guy who it seemed like the highest he could do was practice squad with how deep they were at corner.
I feel like they could have, if they had kept more corners, he would have been the next guy.
Mm-hmm. If they would have kept seven.
Especially with, you know, Hughes and Nakuda being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think like that he would have been the seventh guy. But you're right. Like, and we talked about this for a long time. Like, this corner room was so deep. It turned out exactly how we thought it would.
One of the notable names left off this practice squad is Breon Borders. He played great the first two games. And then that third game versus the starters, you realize, oh, it's just because he's playing against backups. Because he absolutely got burnt like every play and was getting attacked. So it's unsurprising that he completely lost all his ground he'd made up in the season to put him in a spot where some people could say make an argument for him making the roster. It seemed like the Steelers game, he completely lost all the momentum he had.
And it's kind of like we talked about too, like you throw that on with the two-game suspension, you'd have to really be able to play.
For sure.
And I thought you were going to say Darren Hall was the guy.
Darren Hall is also a notable name off. But I like how the Falcons are willing to move on from some of the guys they drafted and aren't working out. And the first draft of this Terry Fontenot, Arthur Smith era didn't work well. You see... you see a bunch of guys not being good. Mayfield as a third rounder. What's his name as a fourth rounder? Darren Hall. It's not as bad as Quinn's first year. Dan Quinn. So I'm just going to say they got a bunch of good guys from the other rounds. Like the first round, you got
Kyle Pitts.
Yep. And then the second round, you had Richie Grant. Mm-hmm. So it was good. Overall a decent draft, but it wasn't a great draft in the first year, missing on some of those mid picks. But Dan Quinn had an even worse draft. He missed on his tenure. They missed on the first two rounds. You had Vic Beasley, good for a couple years, then nowhere to be found. And then you had an LSU corner who came in and then did nothing. People just forgot about him.
Collins, yeah.
Jalen Collins. That was kind of a name I forgot about until like some reporters on Twitter, Kevin Knights, they mentioned it. And they were like, oh, don't y'all worry about this draft. They were trying to ease the doubt between all the Falcons fans by saying, look at this first draft in the Dan Quinn era.
And I wouldn't even say
so well, so don't worry.
I wouldn't even say this draft is that bad. I mean, you still got Taquan Graham on the roster, who's a good rotational defensive lineman in the fifth round. Drew Dahlman, we got in the fourth, who's our starting center. Like, we've got a superstar tight end, an ascending safety, a starting center, and a rotational defensive tackle. Like, most draft classes aren't going to have all of that, right? And not to mention, you know, Ade Ogundeji probably won't make the team, but he's on IR. And I truthfully, Frank Darby, before he got hurt, was looking like he was going to be the wide receiver five.
Yeah, there's a couple guys who are bad in that draft, but there's definitely a couple good picks. But I bring up the Dan Quinn's first draft to tell Falcons fans to not worry about the couple misses in this draft. And it's fine. They'll get better players, move better players in, and everything will work out, and they'll continue to improve this roster. So with that, we'll just continue to go down this roster. Justin Schaefer, a former sixth-round pick by the Falcons. And if you know the story, you know I particularly hate this pick. His pick in the sixth round was absolutely horrible by the Falcons. I know. Jamari Salyer. I know he was a great, great lineman at Georgia, but he was dealing with some injuries. But for you to not take a chance on him in the sixth round, even with injury concerns, knowing full well he could be a quality starter someday, is just ridiculous to me. When in my mind, he's a third round talent going into that draft. So that was a boneheaded pick, in my opinion. Timmy Horn, undrafted free agent, has been good for the Falcons in recent years as a rotational guy. Obviously, with the talent improving, he's getting his role cut down to a practice squad guy, which is horrible for him, but amazing to see as a Falcons fan.
Yeah.
And I'll let you go with
I was talking about
Goodwin Ikwebuke, because I know you were saying you expect him not to be on the roster, and you were right about that. I was expecting them to take four running backs.
Yeah, I just, you know, kind of like I said with Keith Smith, right? Like, Keith Smith is really good, and he is very versatile. So he allows us to be able to only have three guys. And, you know, Goodwin wasn't going to be doing any type of special teams except for maybe returning, but we have guys that can return and contribute to us in other ways. So it would be silly, in my opinion, to have kept that fourth running back that can't really contribute in a lot of other areas. I will say, though, going back to Timmy Horn, I was really surprised that we did cut him, because none of the defensive linemen that we have the same size that he has. You know, Albert Huggins is 305, and I think, and Grady Jarrett's 305, and Onyemata's 300, where Timmy Horn's pushing 330. So I was shocked to see us choose Huggins. I know Huggins played really well, but I was still surprised, just because I feel like Timmy Horn brings something different to the D-line than some of the other guys that we have that are lighter Not that the lighter is a bad thing, right? Grady Jarrett is one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL, and so is Aaron Donald, two guys who are kind of on the lighter side. But just sometimes you want that beef up front.
Yeah, I totally agree there. I think he's the type of guy, if you have an injury at running back, they're going to use one of his call-ups to make him their third running back on that day. But I think it's overall not a bad decision to keep three, especially when you have three as good as they are. Mm-hmm. I know they definitely would have kept four if Avery Williams or Caleb Huntley was healthy. They would have definitely kept four. But with those two going down and having to be cut or placed on IR, respectively, Avery Williams, I believe, is still on IR.
Yeah, I think
Huntley got cut. So it's definitely interesting to see how that changed from like thinking, oh, they're going to take four running backs, absolutely, to, oh, they're probably taking maybe three.
Yeah, and I was correct also in the sense where I said that we would keep more tight ends than running backs. I just thought maybe we'd end up keeping five because of Hesse. But apparently John Fitzpatrick is blocking well enough that they felt like we could, you know, just use him as our main blocking tight end.
And I'm a guy who watches the Bulldogs. I'm a Bulldogs fan. So I watched Fitzpatrick in college, and while he wasn't ever going to be a superstar tight end in the NFL, he showed that he could be a quality blocking tight end with some pass catching ability. Standing at 6'7", around 250, so like 30 pounds smaller than one of his counterparts, Darnell Washington, who was a third round pick and probably was underrated in his draft.
He also had reports of being hurt, but he was, and to this day, is my favorite tight end in that draft class.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I was thinking he could go round one if healthy. Darnell Washington. Yeah. I knew he was definitely going top two rounds if healthy, but apparently the injury concerns scared teams enough to leave him till the third round. Mm-hmm. And now it gives the Steelers a dynamic duo in the receiving corps with George Pickens and Darnell there.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go on to the next one. And the next one we're going to go over is Lakeil London, one of the XFL players. We brought a couple XFL players. I count three out of the 14 we've signed so far. So that's exciting to see. I definitely love just how the XFL has become like a feeder league for the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He's 280, so he's a big boy. So big guy who could probably flip inside if he's called up from the practice squad, but probably will play more of that outside role if he gets called up at some point.
I think he's 290, like 295, 297.
Is he?
Yeah.
I think I saw him listed at 6'5", 280.
I think he's 6'3". The Falcons roster has him at 6'3", 297.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
A bit bigger than I thought. Okay, so next we'll go to Matthew Sexton. Matthew Sexton was a very late sign. I think they signed him right before preseason started. And he made a great impression, especially on special teams. He didn't really have any crazy catches during the preseason, but he overall had some quality special team snaps and a couple nice catches. So to see him here, it just shows the special teams aspect they like a lot, and they're he's definitely a guy they're considering if there's a wide receiver injury, just calling up and being like, okay, here for a game, he's going to come up and be a big time special teams contributor for us.
Mm-hmm.
So going down the list, we're going to have a couple tackles coming up. Tyler Vrabel, a guy who reported his first year, he was getting in the building before Desmond Ridder, and Desmond Ridder was one of the first guys in the building that year, both in their rookie campaign that year. And it's very exciting to see his work ethic paying off. He might have had some bad preseason snaps, but overall a hard worker and a good presence in the locker room. So I'm excited to have him back. And Barry Wesley, another XFL guy, another tackle. So same thing, feeder guys, excited to see him. I don't know if you have anything to add on him, but overall, nothing crazy from him. Knew he probably wasn't going to make the roster.
And if you look too, like two very project type guys, right? Barry Wesley standing 6'7", long, long arms. You know, if he puts on some muscle, like he could be a really good player. He's got the build and the athleticism for it. And then, you know, maybe like when I look at these two guys, I kind of see like Barry Wesley kind of possibly being a left tackle and Tyler Vrabel, you know, being a like son of a great NFL coach, possibly being a right tackle who can come in and you know, doesn't have the athleticism that Wesley has, but somebody who knows what they're doing when they're up at the line and who can, he's just a grinder. So it's two guys I like, two good pickups.
100%. And then we have inside linebacker. He's a big, like 6 foot, 230, 240-ish linebacker, and Andre Smith, out of UNC. He was great at UNC. He was with the Falcons for their mini camp. And then ultimately had a good enough mini camp to where the Falcons signed him to the roster. Mm-hmm. And now he's making their practice squad.
Definitely, like, he's the type of guy too, where, like, let's just say, you know, one, a tight end or a fullback goes down, we could see him get pulled up for special teams value.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And then we'll go to our two tight ends, Parker Hesse and Tucker Fisk. Parker Hesse is not surprising. Parker Hesse is one of the best blocking tight ends in this organization.
It's not surprising. It's just surprising he's not on the roster. That's more of a surprise than him being pulled back.
I know you were surprised, but my projection always had him just off the roster because I thought he didn't have enough of a receiving threat to be on it. And plus, we have a great fullback in Keith Smith. Mm-hmm. If we didn't have Keith Smith, maybe he's on the roster.
Yeah, I just think he's, I know a lot of people love Pruitt. I like Hesse more than Pruitt. They're totally, totally different players, totally opposite players. But, you know, at the end of the day, like you said, they've valued Pruitt's receiving ability over, over Hesse's blocking ability. So
yeah, I think they thought they were good enough, passable as blockers. That's what I was gonna say. You don't need anyone crazy as blockers. You just need something that's doable and will help the run game. So I get taking a receiver because I know they love to pass to their tight ends. So they don't want a guy in there who's going to basically give it away that they're not going to pass it.
And that's what I was going to say too. Like, it's actually a good thing because it means that our other tight ends are good enough blockers that they felt like they didn't have to keep him around.
For sure. And Tucker Fisk, he's basically a guy who's got a lot of experience in the organization. So they're keeping him in case injuries happen and in case they need to bring him up, bring up a guy with experience and knows what to do.
I mean, Tucker Fisk is an awesome story. Played two ways at Stanford, played some defensive line and tight end. So he's a guy with a ton of versatility. And, you know, every once in a while you see him making some plays in mini camp and preseason. So I'm glad to see him back on the squad.
Yeah. Next, Xavier Malone, one of the standouts of preseason.
The darlings.
A guy we were saying, oh, this could be wide receiver 5. He was actually the guy most of the preseason I was saying, I hope he's wide receiver 5. Mm-hmm. Instead, Falcons ended up going with Josh Ali.
And I think it kind of like similar to what we've talked about some of these other guys. You know, I think it's his special teams value. You know, at 5'9", 180 pounds, he really was only able to play as a returner. Where Josh Ali comes in, he can play as a gunner. He can play on kickoff, kick return, and not just as a return man. So I think that value, you know, being 6'2", 200 pounds, for the Falcons was what put him over the edge. At the end of the day, they're two different players, but as far as overall skill, probably two similar players at wide receiver. Zay Malone does have a lot more speed and may bring some of that, but it wasn't worth the sacrifice of the special teams value to the coaches.
Yeah, 100%. And last one we have is Nico Torre. He's an edge rusher who's had a lot of experience in the NFL. His best season was a 5.5 sack season. I believe it was with the Colts, if I'm not mistaken. I will double check that when I'm editing. Yep. But overall, he's been a solid player. But it's amazing to see a guy like this make our practice squad and not be on the active roster.
And, you know, he was a guy last season who we wanted to sign. And we brought him in. He visited us. Reports where we offered him, and he ultimately ended up going to San Francisco, where he only played 3 games. So going from, it again, shows the type of roster we have now. Going from a guy who we really wanted and probably would have gotten some serious rotation for us at outside linebacker / defensive end, to a guy who's on our practice squad.
Yeah, 100%. And I think we should probably go over the 53, so I'll just run through it quick because I know we're pushing it on time. So 3 quarterbacks. Obviously, Ritter's your starter. Taylor Heinicke's the backup. And then you got Logan Woodside, who played himself into a third-string role. Running backs, Bijan Robinson, Tyler Allgeier, Cordarrelle Patterson. And then for fullback, Keith Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And then wide receivers, it's pretty what we expected going into the season. Only the 5th spot is one of the ones you maybe were like, oh, I expected Xavier Malone, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, one of those dudes. But it's Drake London.
Mac Hollins,
Scotty Miller, Cordarrelle Hodge, and then it's Josh Ali, who we've done some talking about.
And I would actually say, like, from what we've seen, it looks like Cordarrelle Hodge is looking like the 3rd wide receiver and Scotty Miller is the 4th. It's kind of
surprising going in.
Yeah.
We were talking about Scotty being that 3rd receiver and that slot guy, but Cordarrelle has played good for the Falcons, so it's not surprising that he's moved himself up on this depth chart.
It's Cordarrelle.
I'm bad with pronouncing.
That's okay.
So we'll go to offensive line. In offensive line, we got 9 guys. Obviously, I'll just go through the starters real quick.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got Jake Matthews on the left side, and then you got Matthew Bergeron. You got Drew Dahlman. You got Chris Lindstrom, and then you got Caleb McGarry. So then you got the backups, Ryan Neusel. You got Isaiah Prince, who was recently signed. And then you got
Kyle Hilton and Gwen.
Oh, yeah. Javon Gwen, the former South Carolina player. And then
our defensive linemen, we've got Clayus Campbell, Joe Gaziano, Taquan Graham, Zach Harrison, Albert Huggins, Grady Jarrett, and David Onyemata. So a very expected core of guys. As far as the inside linebackers, we only kept 4. Caden Ellis, Troy Anderson, Tay Davis, and Nate Landman. And Nate Landman has played awesome thus far through the preseason, and I'm excited to kind of see the next steps he takes. As far as outside linebackers, it's a really solid group. Lorenzo Carter, Bud Dupree, Arnold Ebiketie, and D'Angelo Malone. And it'll be really interesting to see how that rotation plays out. 4 safeties, Jesse Bates, Richie Grant, Jalen Hawkins, and then DeMarco Helms was able to steal away the 4th spot from some of the other guys. And then at cornerback, we talked about briefly, but we'll say it again. D. Alford, Trey Flowers, Mike Hughes, Jeff Okuda, Clark Phillips III, and A.J. Terrell.
100%. It's going to be exciting to see how the roster changes, because this definitely isn't all finalized. There might be another move or two. So,
well, we can't forget about Young Waiku, Bradley Pinion, and our long snapper, Liam McCullough.
Yep. And With that, I think that's going to wrap us up. Overall, we have two more spots to fill on the practice squad, and there might be slight changes to the active roster, so we'll just have to wait and see.
After recording the pod, we found out the Falcons finished out their practice squad by adding wide receiver C.J. Sanders, a former Ohio State player, a 26-year-old receiver from the Panthers. And then they also added Josh Myles back to the roster as a practice squad player.
Yep, so we went over the Pittsburgh game a little bit and all the roster changes. Next up, Falcons football, baby. Let's go.
Rise up.
Again, this is Thon Ray. You guys can follow us at Falcons_drip on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Please make sure you subscribe, follow, whatever you need to do to get the alert for our next episode. If you guys enjoyed today, please leave us a review. It always helps us grow. Until then, see you next time. Rise up.